Now, I'd like you to allow me to bring you a short message from God in the context of our church reopening day. And now when I say short, I want to put that into perspective for you. The last significant milestone in the history of Bluntisham Baptist Church occurred in 1987. Does anyone other than Brian Durkin know what that was? What was significant about that date? There you go, Anne. It was the bicentennial, the 200th anniversary of the first building being built. There it is, we've only got a sketch of it, in 1787. Now, was anyone present at that service? Not that one, the one in 1987. I know Brian was. Anybody else? We've got a few handfuls, only a smattering of handful of people. Well, Reverend Brian Durkin, who is here today, was the minister of Bluntisham Baptist Church then, and he thought it would be a good idea to read out the original first sermon by the founding minister, Coxie Feary, that he preached 200 years earlier. Is that right, Brian?
Actually, it was a sermon by George Whitfield.
Ah, I see which one you mean. Yes, yeah, because he read that had an impact on his life. Yeah, I know which one you mean. I was going off what we'd written in the history on our church website, so we'll have to change it. But what Brian didn't account for is the strength of the congregation's lack of staying power in 1987 compared with the church members of 1787. Because I had it on good authority that by the end of that sermon, Brian, the congregation was celebrating the 201st year anniversary of the church. And everybody's Sunday dinners got burnt to a crisp. So you'll be pleased to hear that I am not reading that original sermon by Coxie Feary. Instead, I'm using one of Brian's even longer sermons from 1995. seriously though, a lot of the focus of our events of today, this reopening service, have centred around our building. And that's perhaps rightfully so. I mean, it's why we're here, to celebrate and to give thanks for the reopening of this building after all the wonderful and amazing renovation work that has taken place and it's been completed. But despite our focus on the church buildings, here at Bluntisham Baptist Church, we often make a big deal of saying how it is not actually the church isn't actually the building, it's the people. The church isn't the building. Phil, look at that, I'm still looking around now when we've got the monitor back up there. I'm going to get used to new ways of functioning now. Don't need to crane my neck. This is because we feel it's really important for us to create a more accurate image of God's image of the church being you and I as the people. Not the bricks, the mortar, the wood, this beautiful building you see around you today. And although we talk about the church being the people, even so, it's often the buildings that are the shop window of the church. The first impression people receive when they see the buildings. Now, to be honest, when I came to have a look around this church 9 years ago, when they were looking for a new minister, and David Taylor's over there, he was the moderator, so if you've had enough of me by nearly 9 years, it's David's fault, you've got to blame, he's here today. But when I came here, and I had a look round the church as it was, my first impressions as I entered into this building, they weren't particularly great. This is what it looked like. You know, you notice a difference, don't you? I know we've not been in here for 2 years, but you forget. You know, yes, it was a historic building, but it was a bit old-fashioned. It's quite dark, seemed closed off from the outside. You know, I could have imagined walking into that building 150 years earlier and it looking exactly the same. And I remember thinking to myself on that day, I'm not too sure that this church is the right place for me. But then I met the people and my reservations really grew. No, I'm only joking. The people were some of the friendliest people and welcoming people I'd ever met. And I got to know about some of the exciting things that this church did in reaching out to its community. And I began to get excited and I was impressed about the possibility of coming alongside these people as their minister. And I guess in that process, what I needed to do is I needed to see past the shop window, those outward appearances of what the church looks like, in order to see the true church as it was, the people, what they do and with their buildings. I'm sure when Coxifieri, the farmer's son, and those initial 25 believers formed this church in December 1786, and they built that original building less than a year later, or those church leaders during the time of John Wheatley, our Sunday school superintendent, who did all the ornate wood carvings in here and over in the hall, when they rebuilt the church, creating the second church building that we're meeting in today in 1875, that's what it looked like, I guess they built a church that adequately reflected their needs at the time. And in much the same way that we have reordered it now, 147 years later, in 2022. The original vision for this refurbished church building, when we met as a church and we, as a people, began to think and pray about what it would look like, back in October 2017, we culminated this as the following. This is our vision statement. Our vision is for an attractive, God-centered church building that is primarily a place of worship, an inviting place to meet with God and with each other. For a building that is accessible to everyone, is welcoming, warm, comfortable, and safe. For the building to be updated to modern standards and to be equipped for the future while remaining sympathetic to its history. Now, as I said earlier, I'm sure you'll agree with me that by God's enabling through this rebuilding project, we have well and truly achieved this vision. Another great rebuilding project that we read about in the Old Testament is when God's people in around 450 BC, under the prophet Nehemiah, they were returning to their sacred city of Jerusalem after 70 years of being in exile in the foreign land of Babylonia. And when they, along with the band members of Boney M, returned to their once beautiful city of Jerusalem, they discovered it in ruins. The city walls had become piles of rubble. So Nehemiah's first task of rebuilding was to instruct each returning resident of the city to be responsible for repairing the bit of the wall that was directly outside of where they lived in the city. And I've got here a picture of a bit of that wall. When they were doing some recent excavation work on the western edge of the Kidron Valley, close to the outline of the old city walls during Nehemiah's time, they uncovered a section of the actual wall that was rebuilt around 2,500 years ago. And in instructing the people to rebuild that bit of the wall that belonged outside of their house, Nehemiah, in doing this, he did it in this way so that each and every one of God's people, in doing so, demonstrated their collective responsibility and commitment to rebuild the walls of that ruined city. Now, as I look around here, it's obvious that not every person, part of God's people here at Bruntisham Baptist Church, may have picked up a hammer or a shovel or a trowel or a drill or a screwdriver and got stuck into making this building a reality. Although some of them did. Phil, Gordon, Peter, Lusmore, Michael, Helen, Peter, everyone who've helped out on the work days. Lots of people have been involved. But whether you physically got your hands dirty or not, all of us have contributed in some way in making this building a reality and what they are today as we look around. Many people have been praying us through the last 5 years of this project. Katie's monthly prayer updates that we received and sent out. So many people have given financially through one-off gifts or monthly pledges. Others have, as I said earlier, have done some amazing sponsored events to raise money for the project. Some have done gardening. Some have done cleaning, polishing, moving furniture. Some even had the arduous task of moving the minister's books from one office to another. It's all that dodgy theological stuff. And just like when the people of God in Nehemiah's day rebuilt their city walls, all of these things that we've done and will continue to do are a demonstration of our collective responsibility and commitment of who it is and what it is God is calling us to be as a church today. To be those faithful messengers of the gospel, beacons of light to those in our community that have, some of whom have come along and enjoyed today with us. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Roger Orr, who is an elder of our church, the one who's responsible for that amazing picture that you've seen us using today, in his sermon, he mentioned how it had been, he calculated And he's a clever guy, I'm sure he's done all the maths. He calculated that it's been approximately 60 generations of Christian believers from the time of the very first believers, the church believers who formed the church in Jerusalem following the resurrection of Jesus. So 60 generations from then until the time of Bluntisham Baptist Church being formed and this church building being constructed in 1787. Now there are rumours that the gospel took so long to arrive here because the missionaries were held up on construction work and traffic congestion on the A14 caused by a heavy goods camel and colliding with a horse-drawn tractor carrying a trailer load of carrots. But that's how we roll in the Fens. That's how it works. But Roger then estimated that it's been about 8 generations of believers from the time when Bluntisham Baptist Church was founded and us reordering and reopening the church buildings today. And in his message, Roger was speaking about how each of those previous 68 generations of Christians, those disciples of Jesus, had been carriers of God's deposit. Carriers of God's deposit. Now, for the benefit of those who weren't here a couple of weeks ago, when Roger was speaking, what he was referring to were the words given by Jesus to those very first generations of Christian disciples. The historian and gospel writer Matthew recorded the words that Jesus said. Jesus came to his disciples and he told them, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, we refer to these words of Jesus as a Great Commission. They are, if you like, the original vision statement for the church. It was the purpose for which those original members of Jesus' church existed. The purpose for which each of those 60 generation of believers had existed up to the point when Bluntisham Baptist Church came into existence. The purpose for which we as the church, his people, have existed over the last 147 years. It's the purpose for which all of us who consider ourselves part of Jesus' church exist today. To go to all the nations and share the good news of Jesus' gospel with them. To baptize them, to disciple them. To teach them the ways of Jesus, the one who we follow as his disciples. All the while being conscious of the Holy Spirit's empowering presence for us to be the people he's called us to be. This is the deposit that we've been called to carry from one generation to the next. The deposit that our ancestors in the Christian faith have handed down to us. The deposit that we have been called to faithfully hand on to the next generation that follows us. Now, I've got my little helper here. Elizabeth, are you going to come down here and help me? I know you've got to go to a party, so you just had a day of parties, really. You've come here and had bacon butties and cake, and now you're going off to a party in a minute. So come on up here. Say hello to everybody. Say, "Hello, my name is Elizabeth."
Hello, my name's Elizabeth.
You got there. Yeah. So this is Elizabeth. You know, the deposit that we have been called to hand down from one generation to next is to such as little ones as this, that we have been called to be carriers of God's deposit. I wonder what kind of church are we handing down to the next generation? And by church, I don't mean the carpets and the curtains and the chairs and the fancy new projector. I mean the faithful example that we are setting to the next generation of people like Elizabeth. Of what it looks like to be a group of disciples living in such a way that we are fully committed to the Great Commission to be carriers of God's deposit. Faithful messengers of the gospel of Jesus to a broken, hurting and lost world around us. So thank you for helping me today, Elizabeth. And I have for your troubles 2 presents to give to you. Okay? And you have, you've got a choice actually. You can either have a bag of Tangfastics or a nail. Which would you prefer? You'd like a bag of Tangfastics. See, I think you were there. Yeah, I could see you thinking, this must be a trick question. I mean, I really want the bag of sweets, but maybe I should choose the nail. There might be a catch in it somewhere. Well, I'll tell you what, just because I'm really nice, you can have both. Is that all right? You can take both. So thank you very much for helping me. You can go and enjoy your party now. In fact, I want to give every person here a bag of Tangfastics. That's what I like to do. What's up, Roger? No, actually, we've only got one bag of Tangfastics. I'd like to give everybody here a nail, is what I'd like to do. So, as the stewards pass the tub of nails around, if you'd like to take one as it comes round, that would be fantastic. There's my other lovely two stewards gone. There you are. If you want to hand them round now, you're all going to be given a nail to take home with you. Now, why are you being given a nail? Well, it's because the carpenters haven't quite finished securing the floorboards on the balcony. So we thought we'd take this opportunity, as we've got so many of you here, a captive workforce, to come and help us finish the job. No, not really. I want you to take this nail home with you as a physical, tangible reminder to you of God's deposit that he has given to you to be part of his church. Now, you may be a part of the church family here at Bluntisham Baptist Church. You may be from other churches nearby, St. Helens, or where you worship in War Boys Bryan, or wherever it is you've come from this afternoon. So wherever and whatever group of disciples you belong to, I want you to place this nail somewhere where it's going to serve as a visual reminder to you. So I don't know, that's your bedside table, your kitchen windowsill, your car dashboard, on your desk, next to your laptop or PC. Nowadays, you know, if there are young people here, just super glue it to your mobile phone, which is super glue to your hand. The idea is that every time you notice this nail, you're reminded of the great invitation of God for you to daily live out the Great Commission in such a way that you become a faithful carrier of God's deposit to the future generations to come. And in the same way that the eight generations before us who founded this church, the same way that they've done that and what they've handed on to us, and the 60 generations before them, back to the very first church that we read about in the book of Acts, let us too be that kind of church that Christ will one day return for. And as he places his arm around our shoulders and welcomes us into heaven, he says to us those amazing six words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So please look after your nail. I'll get a row if it goes in the Hoover from the clean.